It's a great joy to celebrate this Eucharist with you this morning. One of the reasons for my joy is that it's 45 degrees cooler this morning than it was the day that I was here to be ordained in July. So it's a beautiful morning to come together and praise the Lord for his resurrection. We've heard in the gospel that Jesus was in a particular place, Caesarea Philippi, when he asked his disciples that compelling question, "Who do you say that I am?" That place, Caesarea Philippi, meant nothing to me until I was blessed to go to the Holy Land. I went last January. We took all of the seminarians, and it was a wonderful trip for us. And we went to Caesarea Philippi, and it's in the far north extreme of Israel, almost on the border of Lebanon. And we stood in front of this huge cave that had all of these crevices and holes and entrances to it. And our tour guide explained that in the time of Jesus, that this place was a temple in which anyone could place a statue of their deity, where anyone could go and worship their particular god. And so this place was filled with all sorts of worship of all sorts of deities. Roman gods, Greek gods, fertility gods, gods of the New Age, gods of the Old Age. And it was in that place that Jesus asked this question that we heard in the gospel this morning. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? So it's almost as if Jesus was saying to his apostles, you have a choice. Here's all of these other gods, here's all of these other religions, and here I stand before you. What is the decision that you make? What is the faith choice that you will embrace? And Simon Peter comes back with his convicted, unforgettable answer. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. Our age is not that different from the age of Jesus. In essence, we live in Caesarea Philippi because our culture today worships all sorts of different gods, does it not? Gods of secularity, or the gods of the New Age, or the gods of self-fulfillment divorced from any relationship with others, or even the god of atheism, that there is no God, there is no meaning of life. And it's in that swirl of competing theologies and competing beliefs that we stand today and that we dare to profess what Simon Peter professed 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Lord of life. You are our Master and Redeemer. It's that conviction that compelled us to get up so early this morning and come to this Mass. Because we embrace the same faith that Simon Peter believed. We embrace the same truth that Simon Peter proclaimed. When you think about it, our Catholic faith is radical. Because we dare to say that this specific human person living in this particular place at this moment in history incarnated the fullness of the invisible, mysterious, all-powerful God. That's a radical statement, that in Jesus Christ, the fullness of God has been made present in our world and in our lives. And so there's a particularity to our faith. And to say that that is true is to say any other faith doesn't quite come to that fullness of truth. We embrace what is good and true in other religions, but we also dare to say that it's only in Jesus Christ that the fullness of God's revelation is made manifest to us. And so Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. What does that mean in the specificity of our lives? Does it not mean that prayer must be at the center of every day? That from the moment that our feet hit the floor in the morning, we're called to glorify God and to praise Him and to thank Him and to talk to Him and listen to Him? Does it not mean that the Eucharist and the celebration of the sacraments is key for us? Because it's in the sacraments that Jesus Christ is made manifest in our lives in a very particular, tangible way. Doesn't that mean that all of our moral decisions are somehow referred back to Christ and His church? That what we do, what we say, and who we are grounded in Jesus Christ, His values, His vision, His teaching, the kingdom of heaven that He has revealed to us. We're called to embrace our faith with a particularity, with a passion, and with a conviction that will draw others into it because of our example. Each one of you rubs shoulders with all sorts of people that will never come and talk to a bishop or talk to a priest. And that means that you may be the only Christ that someone in this world experiences. You may be the only experience of God that someone in this world encounters. How important your faith, your example, your prayer, your witness become in that context, that vast panorama of salvation. Doesn't mean you have to thump the Bible. Doesn't mean you have to pull the catechism out every 3 minutes and quote from it. But if you live your faith, if you pray, if you love God, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, it will shine from your being. And people at work and your neighbors, your friends, your family will start coming to you and ask for your prayers and ask you questions and present to you their problems and ask for answers, because somehow you will be known to them as a spiritual person, as someone who has been touched by the hand of God and has a wisdom that they seek. True holiness, true faith is magnetic. And everyone is drawn to it, even if it's against their own will. Because there's something about the power of God, there's something about the presence of the love of God in human life that is attractive and draws all people to it. And so today in this Eucharist, we profess with Simon Peter and with all the saints and with the entire church that yes, Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are the Lord of life. You are the pattern for us. You are our inspiration. You are the one who will greet us after death. You are the one who walks with us through the tragedies and joys of this life. You are the one who loves us enough to die on the cross and to rise from the dead. This entire Mass is a profession of that faith and of that conviction. We praise and thank the Lord that He loves us enough, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save us from meaninglessness, to save us from sin, and to save us from death itself. And so this morning we stand in Caesarea Philippi, and the Lord asks us, "Who do you say that I am?" We can only answer that question from the depth of our hearts and from the mystery of our own lives. But Jesus is the answer to the questions that life presents to us. And we pray for the grace to live our faith in such a way that's magnetic for others, that others are drawn to it because they see something different in us, something transparent in us, something holy in us. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for your death and resurrection, for it is by your cross that you have redeemed the world.